Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
Acts chapter 2. We were supposed to finish our Inner Fire series today, Pentecost Sunday, and it would be a great opportunity to finish our Inner Fire series, but I do feel that we're going to extend this out for a couple of weeks. But this morning, I want to read from this very familiar passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Are you ready to go? All right. It says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Moralistic, therapeutic deism, or MTD for short. This was a term coined in around about 2005 to sum up what religion and faith looked like among many young Americans at the time. With MTD, God is reduced to a cosmic therapist or a divine butler, ready to help out and assist when needed. He exists, God exists, but he is rarely a part of our daily lives. MTD tells us that we should be good people, but also that there's no need to be bound by organized religion where somebody is telling you what you should do and what you should believe. This is a diet version of religion. It operates, if you will, kind of like a spiritual Ozempic. Think about how the suppressant Ozempic works. It tricks the body into believing that it's full when it's really empty. And this modern watered-down version of faith gives us just a tiny, inactive dose of spirituality, just enough to make us feel safe, happy, and secure. But make no mistake, its real function is to suppress your appetite for the wild and wondrous real food of authentic faith. This spiritual Ozempic quietens our spiritual hunger without ever actually feeding our starving soul. Now, it doesn't take too much to see that the church has built whole structures around this idea. We naturally want a clean, comfortable, therapeutic kind of faith, one that makes us feel good. And so we build structures where we are placed comfortably in the center. We design churches around our preferences. And in doing so, God is relegated or pushed out to the edges, invited in when life gets too difficult. This kind of thinking has swept across Western Christianity, and it has produced a tragic kind of Christianity. This kind of Christianity creates the kind of believer who fervently prays for that good parking spot on a Monday morning to make life that little bit easier, yet actively avoids, too soon, Ben, yet actively avoids the prompting of the Spirit to talk to a grieving co-worker on Tuesday because it's going to take too long. Here's the tragedy. When this kind of Christianity looks out at the problems of the world and the problems of the human heart and feels the urgency to love and heal, all it has to offer is human effort and technique. This kind of faith wants the kingdom impact of Pentecost, but lives in the exhaustion of Babel, trying to build something for God instead of letting God build something through us. The result isn't a supernatural release of love like we saw on Pentecost. It's just predictable human burnout. When we try to do the work of God without the power of God, we inevitably become disillusioned and exhausted activists rather than joyful witnesses. And this, my friends, is why we have the book of Acts. This is why we have Pentecost. A.W. Tozer says this, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been drawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was poured out like a rushing wind, birthing the church of Jesus Christ, and the world was never the same again. It was turned upside down. But Pentecost doesn't just tell us how the church was birthed. It also lets us in on how the church was built and established. This is not a story of human effort, a church built by our cleverness, our intelligence, or our bright ideas. It is a story of power falling from heaven and landing on the human heart. Church is birthed in power and the church is built in power. We have to understand that God's power is not like ours. God's power is seen most clearly through the cross, meaning that God's power, the kind of power that builds the church, is sacrificial, others-serving, cross-shaped love. There is no distinction between power and love in the kingdom of God. To walk in God's love is to walk in God's power, and vice versa. To walk in God's power is to walk in His love. Too often when we talk about Pentecost, what we actually mean is the gifts of the Spirit. We make the mistake of reducing the Holy Spirit down to the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts were given with the singular promise and purpose to help us know love and express love. Our good friend, Strawn Coleman, says this, prophecy, healing, miracles, discernment of spirits, and the rest are not rewards for righteous behavior. They're tools given to longing souls to share God's love with the church, and in doing so, have a deeper experience of God's love within themselves. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to help us to know the love of Jesus, become the love of Jesus, and to love with the love of Jesus. To know the love of Jesus, become the love of Jesus, and to love with the love of Jesus. That is the promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost. That's what we're going to have a look at this morning. The promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost. The promise of Pentecost is the power of God to help us know the love of Jesus. The pattern of Pentecost is the power of God to help us become the love of Jesus. And the potential of Pentecost is the power of God to express the love of Jesus. And the challenge for us as a church, as the people of God, is to embrace and hold on to all three of those things. Not an easy thing to do. When we separate from one of these, maybe we hold on to two of the three or one of the three, we dilute and even lose our witness. Now, moralistic therapeutic deism, we talked about at the beginning, that's just one example of what can happen when we fail to hold on to all three. But there are other traps we can fall into as well. We can hold on to the promise, understand the potential, but neglect the pattern. The promise, the potential, but neglect the pattern. And when this happens, we pursue the raw, intoxicating power of the Holy Spirit, but we wield it in a way that looks like our ego and not Christ. This is charisma without Christ-likeness, where we use the language of the Spirit to mask ambitions of our flesh. It wasn't too long after Acts 2 where the church is having to be rebuked by Paul for relying on its own wisdom and its own strength rather than loving in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the headline of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where Paul rebukes them for being worldly, mere infants. Why? Because they had separated the love of God from the power of God, and they were sounding like noisy gongs to the world around them. They had fallen back on their own wisdom rather than relying on the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we can, and we too often do, hold on to the promise, understand the potential, but neglect the pattern. Another thing we can do is hold on to the promise, understand the pattern, but neglect the potential. And when this happens, we end up building quiet, sheltered lives of private morality. Faith goes private. We keep it inside our homes or inside the four walls of the church. We admire the life of Jesus, but lack the holy grit to step out in faith and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Meaning we divorce love from its revolutionary potential. We hold on to the correct form of godliness, but we deny its explosive, life-giving, life-transforming power in our world. We end up hoarding the love of God within the walls of the church, never learning to risk our comfort for the sake of his kingdom. This is the church whose light has been hidden under a bowl. The potential of Pentecost, unrealized. What does Acts 1:8 tell us? Wait. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. But then what happens next? It's not power for the sake of power. It's power so that it can be unleashed as a witness to our world, from Jerusalem to Judea until the ends of the earth. Let us not be a church that lets the potential of Pentecost stay locked within the four walls of our church. Let us be the kind of church that is always asking the question, curious, what is our Father in heaven up to? Where can this potential of Pentecost be unleashed in my life and world today? So how do we embrace the promise, the pattern, and the potential? I hear you asking that question, and it's a very good question. Here we turn to Acts chapter 2. Well, let's go back over where we started from. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. And I got you to read that word suddenly, because that's where Pentecost starts. Pentecost starts as a move of God. It was his initiative. Pentecost starts with a suddenly. And oh, how we love the suddenlies of God. Do we not? Put your hand up if you love the suddenlies of God. Suddenly, God breaks in and makes a difference. Suddenly, his presence shows up in a way that's unexpected. Gives us an encounter and an experience of his love. Pentecost starts with a Sunday, but it's not where Pentecost ends. We read down to the end of the chapter and we see what is happening in the midst of the people. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is how the promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost is unleashed in our world. When God suddenly is met with our response of devotion. When God suddenly is met with our response, the response of a devoted people, a people devoted to the ways of God, a people devoted to taking the power, the suddenly, all that was imparted, the gift of the Holy Spirit and his presence, and pushing it out into the world through daily devotion, through practice, through what we call here at Dayspring, our grace practices so that we can build tangible practices, robust, redemptive, restoring, life-giving, Holy Spirit-empowered practices, building a community living for the purpose of God. The disciples in that upper room took the wind and the fire of the Spirit and channeled it into teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread through generosity and prayer and miracles out into their world. Because the church's call is not just for spiritual experiences, though we love those, we honor those, and we want to see more of those moments. But the ultimate mission of the church is that those experiences are translated into maturity and health in raising up and growing up disciples into the image of Christ. And this is our calling, Dayspring, and very much the heartbeat of our church. We are called to be a church birthed in presence, birthed in and carrying, known for the power of God, a place of miracles, a place of healing, a place of the prophetic. But alongside that, we are called to be mature sons and daughters, to respond to God's power, to respond to the suddenlies in our life with devotion, discipline, a life of prayer, doing life with one another, sacrificing a night out or a binge watch on Netflix, to go to our table communities and do life with one another, break bread with one another, encourage and get to speak life into our friends and our family, those we are called to. Power is good, but without formation, it can be destructive. Power of God channeled through Paul's words, mere infants, is not the kind of power that is going to be a light and a witness to our world. John Tyson says this: we need lifestyles that can sustain the power of God without it blowing us up. And so here at Dayspring, you will see that we give room and space for the power of God. You'll hear us talk about the power of God. At the end of the service, we're going to release words of knowledge and we're going to see the power of God bring healing and breakthrough into people's lives. But you'll also hear us talk about practices, grace practices, spiritual disciplines, whatever language that you want to hear, because those are the things, daily rhythms of grace that enable us to lock in to the power of grace, establishing Christ-like patterns in our speech, Christ-like patterns in our behavior, posture us in the way of love, in the way of the cross, so that we can bring the kingdom to our world. The language that you might hear us use if you've been at Dayspring for any length of time is the marriage of the charismatic with the contemplative. Two things that were never meant to be divorced. Two things that we see at the birth of the church. Acts chapter 2, right at the top, there is the charismatic power of God expressed in an outpouring of his love. And right down the bottom, the contemplative practices, building in rhythms of grace into our daily life so that that power can be contained in mature vessels and taken out into a dry and thirsty world. You see, the early church leaders didn't have anything that we would now consider. These are almost like non-negotiables for church life today. Central for our faith. The early church didn't have any buildings. They didn't have a vision statement. They didn't have core values written down on a piece of paper they handed out to new people. They didn't have social media. They didn't have radio broadcasts. They didn't have celebrity pastors. What they had was a bunch of dedicated, devoted Christ followers, laying down their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Bunch of people who believed that this message we call the good news of Jesus was more than enough to turn their world upside down, bring healing and hope and redemption. I want to finish by giving you a vision of what church could look like when we embrace the promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost. And I want to give you this vision by telling you a story, if I could have the keys player on. This is a story that I heard for the very first time about a month ago. Where is that coming from? Can you guys hear that? All right. Just checking. It's been a long week. All kinds of things are going on in my head. Now I'm hearing keyboards. This is a story that I heard for the first time around about a month ago. This story takes place in a local high school, where a young preacher in a newish church plant gets up like he did every other Sunday to preach a message. Only this Sunday he starts by saying he won't be preaching the message he had planned. Instead, he is going to share a dream that he had had recently, a dream that he felt was going to be significant in shaping the life of this young church plant. In this dream, God brought him to the outside of a big, beautiful, well-constructed, architecturally designed and grand building. You can probably picture it in your head right now. Palatial, perfect, glorious. And then God took him up over the top of this building, and he was able to see into what was a hollowed out shell. No life on the inside. Gutted, run down, and overgrown with weeds. And in that moment, he felt God say, "This is the church that religion built. All glossed up on the outside, no life on the inside." And God took him up over a mountain where he was overlooking a great valley. And in this valley was a campfire. People gathered all around it, doing life together. This gathering of people had almost a gypsy type feel to it, because it was just a bunch of people doing life together, singing together, eating, feasting, drinking in the joy of life. Like Pentecost, it was messy at times, but there was life. There was life. In the middle of this fire was the person of Jesus. He was the one true focal point, the one that everyone had gathered around. And this idea, the people gathered around the campfire, Jesus at the center, doing life together, relationally, drinking in the joy of life. This idea became key to capturing the imagination of this young pastor and this young church, forming and shaping it into the way God intended it to. This church was called away from the trappings of religious structure to build something different as it held on to the promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost. Now, some of you in this room have heard this story before. Some of you may have even been present when this young pastor shared this dream for the very first time. But all of you, every single one of you here today, have directly benefited from that dream, from that vision that has been shared and lived out for over 30 years. Because that young pastor's name was David Crabtree. And Dayspring, you are the gathering around that campfire. It's you and I. Because David, being the founding pastor, along with his wife, Narelle, of Dayspring, you are that campfire. You and I are the fruit of someone who dared to believe and see things differently. Chose not to build a church around structure. not to compare and compete around other churches around him. To keep Jesus at the center. To keep the fire burning bright. To do it through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, empowered by grace in life with one another. And if you came to Dayspring in the early days, you would have been seated at a round table, a picture of the campfire, a picture of doing life together, a picture of what it means for you and I to be the body of Christ. This dream is woven into the DNA of our church. Live our lives around the presence of Jesus, Jesus at the center. It's why we take communion every single Sunday. I don't care if you're bored of it or you're sick of it and you're tuned out. Jesus is the center of our community, and we will be reminded of that by taking communion. It's not the pulpit, it's not the preacher, it's not the worship leader. Jesus is at the center. And maybe it would do our hearts well for the next few times we take communion to keep that image of the campfire with us. For some of you, that campfire has meant healing. For some of you, that campfire has brought physical healing to your bodies, physical healing to your mind. For some of you, that campfire has been the very invitation into the kingdom of God. It's meant salvation. For some of you, it's meant family. You've grown up here. This is all you've known, and you are grateful for an opportunity to walk into a community like this every single week, knowing that you belong, knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are accepted just as you are. And pretending around the campfire, we just come as we are, get caught up in the love of God, in his presence. Here's the thing. This diet form of religion, moralistic therapeutic deism, it was first used to diagnose a problem in the church 20 years ago. But things are changing. Things are changing. I think starting with COVID 6 years ago, it was a catalyst for the church to respond. But watch what happened. I think COVID comes, a crisis hits, and you saw the church. I think we forgot at least one of those three things. We ran on ahead with the potential of Pentecost, or we ran on ahead with the promise of Pentecost, or we ran on ahead with the pattern of Pentecost, but we failed to hold on to all three. And what happened? We were divided and we were exhausted, burnt out and anxious, taking on the culture and the air all around us. The result is we were left disillusioned, burnt out. Many of us so cynical. Remember G.K. Chesterton famously said, anything done in our own strength will either fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. And I kind of think that sums up our COVID response. Our faith was found out to be somewhat shallow. But I don't know if you noticed, things are changing. This generation, and I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about a generation that is now marked by a hunger for the authentic, a hunger for what is real. Real, raw power of the Spirit, carried by a people that know the real, precious, purifying love of the Lamb of God. Why don't you stand at your feet? Why don't you hold out your hands this morning as you prepare your heart to receive something fresh from God? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Why don't you just take a deep breath in? breath out. Do that again. Deep breath in. Breathe out. I believe that some of you here this morning are disillusioned. Some of you here this morning are exhausted. This morning, the promise, the pattern, and the potential of Pentecost are being poured out afresh in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. We receive the full measure of what the Father wants to pour out upon His people. The full measure of His love. The full measure of His presence. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't love like the world loves. You love with the kind of love that heals. You love with the kind of love that makes us whole. The kind of love that pulls us out from shame and condemnation. The kind of love that rescues from us from old patterns that bring death and destruction and ushers us into new life. And to all of that this morning, we say yes. The testimony of our brothers and sisters who went down into the water, died, left their flesh behind, and came out resurrected in resurrection life and power. New creation. The old has gone, the new has come. To that we say yes.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.